What's up, everybody? It's Isaac, and you're listening to the intro before the intro, which means today we have a very special appearance I made on Avery's Chiller Queen podcast. It's an appearance I made back in December of 2022, and I was on there to talk about Balenciaga and some of the occult symbolism. And you already know we've talked about it on this show several times. It was a very hot subject back then, and it still is today. And what I found interesting, the thing that sparked my memory of this, I am researching Twin Peaks, as you already know, and I plan on making an announcement for my project where I'm going to dig deep into this Twin Peaks show and write a book, and I mean, I got so much in the works on this thing. In fact, if you listen to my other podcast, Breaking Social Norms, depending on when you're listening to this, I'm releasing the episode where I talk about the motivation behind it, and you get a sort of the soft disclosure rollout of my Twin Peaks project over there. Anyway, or you can just wait, and I will give a formal announcement on right here on this podcast very soon. I'm getting real close, and that's all I'll say about it for now. But during my research, I was checking out Kyle MacLachlan, right? Who plays FBI Special Agent Dale Cooper. And there's a lot of interesting things going on here, right? Like, he's from the state of Washington. He was married to Laura Dern when he was filming Blue Velvet. He hooked up with her. Then he hooked up with Lara Flynn Boyle when he was filming Twin Peaks with her. And he was also engaged to a supermodel named Linda Evangelista. Now, what's interesting, what sparked my memory of this Balenciaga ordeal, is that Linda Evangelista, in 2006, she gave birth to a son. And it was a whole to-do because she wouldn't name who the father was. Well, turns out the father was a billionaire, François-Henri Pinault. That's right. The guy who's married to Salma Hayek. And if that name rings a bell, it's because we talked about this billionaire guy. He's the CEO of Kering. Kering. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. That's a luxury corporation. And they are the actual owners of Balenciaga. So I thought, man, that's really wild, isn't it? So here we are. Let's revisit it. Because we get into a lot of the ideas behind the scandal of Balenciaga. We talk about Jake and Dino Chapman, which I don't recall that being on my podcast feed. So, you know, you've got some new stuff on here. And check out Avery's podcast. Check out Chiller Queen podcast. She's doing a ton of stuff that you'll be interested in. She's been researching and doing shows on the left-hand path and Satanism and Michael Aquino. And she's not a conspiracy theorist podcast exactly. She does a variety of things that you'd be interested in, true crime, paranormal, that kind of thing. And she dives into conspiracy sometimes as well. So be sure to check her out. She's all over the podcast stuff. She's on Rockfin. You can check out the video version of our discussion there if you wanted to. And I'll put the link in the show notes, as always. So without further ado, let's get into it.
Well, hello, friends. I am Avery, your host of the Chiller Queen podcast. This is where I dive deep into the unknown. And if you're anything like me and you have some serious trust issues, let me take you on a journey down the rabbit hole. I'm going to present to you some of the most mind-blowing stories that may just send chills down your spine or have you wondering just what kind of world we are living in. Every other Wednesday, which this episode's going out on a Monday, we have some special things going on with this whole Balenciaga thing. So the schedule has gotten a little off track and I've been putting out episodes a little bit sooner than normal. But my typical episode output, I guess that's how you can say that, I do every other Wednesday. I drop a new episode that's kind of part of a four-part series. The series collections that I cover are true crime, crazy conspiracies, and bizarre true stories. And right now you are tuning into my conspiracy series, but I had different plans for this whole series, but this whole Balenciaga scandal broke out. I did a part one where I kind of scratched the surface. But today, like I said, I have a very, very special guest that I am bringing onto the show His name is Isaac, and he is the host of Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. He's been doing it for a really long time, and I've been listening to his podcast for quite a long time, and I just love the way that he breaks down a lot of symbolism that I particularly am not aware of. And so the more that I listen to what he has to say, the more I start to recognize and see a lot of the stuff that plays out in movies, music, all that kind of stuff. And he covers a lot of that in his podcast. So Isaac hosts the Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture podcast, which is supported by the premium feeds on VIP section, Rockfin, and IW Patreons, which is Illuminati Watcher Patreons, and Breaking Social Norms. He has been featured guest on the Tinfoil Hat podcast, which is one of my favorite. He's an honorary member of Mount Crushmore. He was on Eddie Bravo's Look Into It, Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis, Chris Jericho's Talk is Jericho podcast. I'm totally butchering all of this because he's just been on so many amazing things. Those Conspiracy Guys with Dave Navarro's Dark Matter Radio, Richard C. Hoagland's Other Side of Midnight. He's been in Sirius XM's The All Out Show, The Higher Side Chats, Blackout Radio, Freeman Flies, The Free Zone, Mark Devin's Good Vibrations, Vice Complex Magazine, Esquire, The Atlantic, and many more radio shows and podcasts. His fresh perspective and openly admitted imperfections, that's why I love him, promotes the rational approach to exploring these taboo subjects and theories. I couldn't have thought of a better person to bring on to continue talking about this Balenciaga stuff, because there's a lot of things that people are pointing out symbolism-wise with this whole Balenciaga thing. And we really, really cover like a very higher perspective of this whole thing today. We don't just dissect some of the stuff that Balenciaga was doing. We really go deep into the roots of how this possibly could have happened and what has kind of drawn us into the world in which we are today. And it all kinds of ties under the Balenciaga umbrella. So I know I kind of went on a tangent there, but this is a really amazing episode. This is part two. I do talk about Jake and Dinos Chapman, which I promised I would do on my Instagram page. Jake and Dinos Chapman is the people who created, well, they created some really grotesque artwork of naked children in sexual positions with genitals for faces, and they call it artwork, and they were producing it on Christie's auction website, and they're distributing it out to everybody. And a lot of people were attacking Balenciaga and the CEO of Kering, which is the parent company of all of these, Christie's website and all these fashion brands. But why weren't we going after Jake and Dinos Chapman? So I talk about that at the very end of my conversation with Isaac. So make sure that you continue to listen after I say goodbye to Isaac, because I do go further into the Jake and Dinos Chapman situation. But really quick, and I'm going to make this super quick, if you're a new listener, I really want to give you a shout out because I want to say thank you so much for tuning in. Welcome to the community of weirdos, truth seekers, and well, whatever you want to identify yourself as. We are a judgment-free community, so I would like to welcome you to the fam, and I hope you stick around. There are a couple quick announcements. I'm going to make this really quick because I want to dive into this episode. I do have a Discord. I call it my community of weird. You can find that down in the show notes. I like it because it's a little bit better than a Facebook group, but it's really just my effort to try to bring together a community of like-minded people who are interested in the same things and can learn and grow from each other. It's slowly growing. I think there's like 35 people on there now, but everyone's a little shy in the beginning, so I would really love you guys to help me out in this community building. If you're interested in being an admin, give me a shout out at chillerqueenpodcast@gmail.com. I would love to include you on there. And if you have no idea what Discord is, it's super easy to get started. It's free and it's pretty much like a Facebook group, like I said, but with a lot more capabilities for its members. There's a lot of discussion groups on there that I have. You can also let me know what kind of shows you want me to cover and stay up to date with any of my special announcements. I also have my premium Rockfin channel. There's a link down below. That is where I have any bonus episodes that I put out. Sometimes I put out episodes early for those people. But one thing I really love about Rockfin is that when you sign up as a subscriber, it is a low amount, but it's not like Patreon where you only have access to my content. You actually have access to the entire platform. And there's people on there like Eddie Bravo, there's Sam Tripoli, Isaac is on there as well. There's just a lot of really awesome, like-minded creators on the platform that I think if you're listening to my podcast, you would really love. So I'd highly suggest checking that out. And then I also have my website up, chillerqueenpodcast@gmail.com. I am taking voice messages on there. There's a microphone icon on there that you can use to leave me messages. And I will put any of the ones that I love the most on my future episodes. So you could be featured on a future episode of the Chiller Queen podcast. It's really, I would love for you guys to utilize that to let me know what you guys are thinking of the episodes. You can even put your theories in there. You can leave me all kinds of messages, whatever you guys want to do. But I'm really excited to continue on with this Balenciaga saga today. I will start wrapping this up and just dive into this episode. I hope you guys enjoy. And if you guys are loving it, make sure to leave me a review. It really helps the show out a lot. You can actually review straight onto my website. And there's an Apple and Spotify areas as well on that. I'm sorry. I'm just really excited about this. Well, let's dive in, my friends, shall we? Well, welcome to the show, Isaac. Thanks for coming on to the Chiller Queen podcast.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. This is quite an interesting subject you want to talk about today. So I'm very excited to talk about this.
Yeah. So I'm kind of diving into Balenciaga again. I already did my part one of the Balenciaga saga, but I kind of only briefly scratched the surface. And some of the stuff that I talked about was really kind of just covering one of the images and some of the kind of sadistic things that were brought out from the image. But then I also covered what those documents were that were in a picture that was in the Adidas campaign with that hourglass purse. And then I dove really deep into that and why people need to understand why it's not just a teddy bear that's in a picture with children and why it's so odd that they would pick this particular case in one of the pictures. And I kind of dissected that particular case and why, if you really dive into the Protect Act, it really does fall under the category of distributing and exploiting children, which it falls under the Protect Act. And I kind of really dove deep into that. But the one thing I like about your perspective is that you have a lot of understanding in occult symbolism. And you have your own podcast. It's called Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. And I've listened to a lot of the stuff. You've covered a lot of this Balenciaga stuff. But before we kind of dive in more into this, I just want you to give my listeners a brief of what your podcast is about and give me a little background on you.
Yeah, definitely. So there's a kind of a long story here, so I'm going to keep it brief. Back in 2011, I started a blog called IlluminatiWatcher.com. And the reason I actually started that was because I was in a 2-year period between completing my undergrad and going to grad school. So it was just for fun. It was more topical about things I'm interested in, which was music, television, films, and it included conspiracy theory talk, which I was fairly new to. Back in 2002, I read Bill Cooper's Behold a Pale Horse. Then in 2005-ish, I watched David Icke's Freedom Road. Those are my, I call them my stage one and two red pills, right? They kind of informed this background idea about conspiracy ideas. And when I started the blog in 2011, I started talking about some different ideas, conspiracy related, as it pertained to those two theorists. And then there was a big audience for that stuff. So I started focusing more on that content. 2014, I launched the podcast, which was called Conspiracy Theories in Unpopular Culture.
That's when I started listening.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. All right. Yeah. Shout out. Yeah. You're OG then. Yeah. So 2014, I started the podcast. And at the same time, I was building up a YouTube. YouTube hit, I was at about 75,000 subs in 2016, 2017. They canceled me for reasons, like that's a whole big rabbit hole of subject, but they canceled me because I tried to do it in a tasteful, respectful manner, which kind of shocks me as to why they canceled me. I would talk about symbolism you'd see in some of the Taylor Swift videos, Ariana Grande, that kind of thing. And they canceled me. Google shadow bans my blog. Then I got kicked off of Vimeo, where I was paying them to host my videos I had made at that point on YouTube. They kicked me off. And I want to put a distinction out there, because since 2016, there is this clear hijacking of the conspiracy truther messaging. And we're going to talk about that today with the Balenciaga thing, because this is now part of that. And I'll explain why that is. But this is about shutting down information and shutting down certain messages. And there's different theories as to why. And I've got my perspective. I could be wrong, but I've got my perspective as to what the real end game is here. But I was on the leading edge of this, but I was experiencing the cancel culture banning of stuff back before Alex Jones and all this stuff, right? Is what I'm trying to get at. And the podcast was, and writing books. I was writing books this whole time. I've got 9 books written. And the podcast was the thing that I was able to sort of duck and dodge a lot of this censorship for some reason. We'll see how long that lasts. But to get back to why I changed the title, about 2-3 months ago, I changed the title to Occult Symbolism in Pop Culture, because A, that fits the research and the information I discuss more appropriately, because I'm not what you would call today a conspiracy theorist or a truther. That's a little bit different of a flavor. It kind of took on a different meaning, kind of became a little more political, and I don't know, it just didn't represent what I do and my research. So yeah, that's the history of my, I'm going on 11 years of taking this research seriously, but I've been into this stuff for at least 20 years. I was watching X-Files in the 90s and super intrigued by aliens back then. So, I mean, that's the origin story right there. But yeah, it's been a long, windy road. I've learned a lot. I've had a lot of strange contacts with people that sort of fuel me up and say, hey, you're onto something here. And people that are plugged into some of these big institutions that we talk about, and they more or less kind of say, hey, you're kind of onto this. This is kind of the truth. And it's like, it's kind of surprising.
Yeah. And I actually agree to that. I think that something has happened in the mass consciousness. There's been a shift in people's awareness to a lot of the stuff that's being displayed out into the world through media, through music, through all these different ways that they use to reach the masses. And a lot of people, I mean, throughout my entire life, I've never witnessed a lot of the stuff that now I'm like, oh my gosh, how did I miss that? Right? Even from a little kid, some of the stuff that they put in little kids' movies and all these different things. And once people were able to utilize social media in a way where they could start getting this message out and kind of helping people realize like some of the symbolism that's being displayed in this type of stuff. And that's kind of the stuff that I am particularly really interested in lately, because as I'm getting more aware of this stuff, now I'm seeing it everywhere. And I think that now people are being more aware of what we've been so desensitized to for a really long time. And now that's why you see all of a sudden Balenciaga post something like BDSM teddy bear in a picture with a child. And it is a form of child exploitation, because you're putting something sexual in the same picture as a child. And so predators and people who have, I mean, some people might look at that and just be like, oh, it's just a teddy bear. But it's not just a teddy bear. It actually has a correlation that sometimes from a subconscious mindset, we can't really like piece together. And from a predator's point of view, you know, a predator could look at something like that and it could be tied together and exploiting in the way that they look at this child in an image, right? Which goes against what that document was in that picture, which is a case that falls under what the Protect Act is actually utilized to protect children from being exploited and sexualized and all these images being distributed. And so I think that once that came out, and you saw the backlash, then people started realizing that this goes much, much deeper, that we have actually been, this isn't just the first time Balenciaga has done something like this. This is just the first time that you had a mass amount of people who are now recognizing what is going on here, and they're making a huge storm out of it. And so that's why I find this so interesting, is because people are becoming more and more aware of the symbolism and what's being put out there. So I have only touched briefly on one of the images that you had actually talked about pretty in depth. That was the one where you have the dates on there and you kind of went over the dates, and then you had Balenciaga on the caution tape. It's like, why would they purposefully change Balenciaga to Balenciaga on the caution tape dress, whatever? But there are some other images that I haven't even been able to really dive into. And so I'm kind of curious, besides that, let's kind of dive into some of the other stuff that has been taken in the past, but we haven't really recognized it.
Yeah. And I think a good, because you have already discussed this topic on your show, so people are familiar with the basics of it. You know, what's interesting to me, this Balenciaga thing encompasses a lot of the overlaps on the stuff I research. We're talking pop culture, celebrities, the satanic slash occult slash conspiracy realm, and symbolism, because I talk a lot about symbolism. And I want to briefly go over the ideas of symbolism, because a lot of people, just like you were saying, they say, oh, it's a teddy bear, who cares? Big deal, right? Well, when you study the occult and you study how the mind works, there's an actual purpose for these symbols. And there's a lot of different theories and ideas and statements that occultists have made about this kind of thing. Carl Jung, a very famous psychoanalyst who was also a Gnostic, which is an occult belief system of sorts. It was kind of predated Christianity. It kind of was in competition with Christianity that we know today. They more or less believed in the idea that they call it the Yaldabaoth. They think that the God that created the world we live in is actually an evil entity and is actually trapping our souls in this material realm, and we're actually living in hell. And the Gnostics' aim is to try to ascend and break through and get out of this world and into the real heaven. They call it the Pleroma.
Interesting.
And massive rabbit hole warning. This goes into simulation theory ideas and flat earth ideas, depending on how you look at it. But we're going to focus on the subject at hand here. But Carl Jung, he studied a lot of the occult arts, right? And he said, symbols give purpose to man. And all these ancient occultists, when you look at the ancient religions, you look at the ancient mystery schools that you would find in Egypt and such, these occultists, they knew that symbols held power and they were able to convey entire messages or thoughts that were used in these different practices and ceremonies. And this is obvious today to Christians, right? You talk about the cross and that conveys an entire message, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in terms of if you go into the dark side of things, I did a study of this group called the Order of Nine Angles. It's an occult satanic group. And they had a theory in their book that I found fascinating, and it seemed to me to sum up what I've struggled to put definition to for so many years on symbols and sigils and why all this is happening, right? I'm going to read to you from a book on infernal magic and the Order of Nine Angles. It says, according to this theory, the magician utilizes signs and symbols as part of a communication process with the phenomenon she wishes to understand or affect and assign meaning to the phenomenon that became known to her. Sigils do not need to be properly implanted into the subconscious as part of creating this necessary space between action and the ability of the sigil to work below the level of conscious thought. Now, that said a lot, right? What we're talking about is symbols being implanted into our mind and into the subconscious where they go to do the work. You'll see that a lot when you research these ideas of the mind and brainwashing and MKUltra and stuff. They need to penetrate past the conscious mind, go into the subconscious mind. You'll hear, like when you watch TV, right? A commercial comes on, and I'm probably dating myself here. A lot of people don't even have cable television anymore or DVRs or whatever. But back in the day, a commercial would play and you would go and, I don't know, run to the kitchen or whatever you're doing. And that's why they turn the volume way up on the commercials. And they don't really necessarily care that you're not devoting your full attention because they know you're not going to. They're trying to speak to your primitive reptilian brain. And there's a lot of studies and things that support this. And symbolism, to me, is just another way of facilitating this contact and causing a change by more or less fundamentally rewriting the software code of what we subscribe to, what we believe in, what we desire, and all that stuff. So when you see the teddy bear and these little kids in the Balenciaga ad,
mm-hmm.
I believe there's a nefarious purpose in there. And we could talk about this because it actually relates. And I do want to talk about the photos because there's several photos, right? And you're talking about the one specifically with the kid with the dates on the wall.
I mean, you had pointed out the 666 too, that was on the side of the wall. And I didn't even particularly see that initially until you pointed it out.
Do you think that looks real? Because it looks like there's a smudge through the top six.
Well,
to me, it look, I see it, but do you think I'm stretching on that?
So initially, when I looked at it, it almost looked like it was an ongoing scribble like this, that you could be like, okay, it's probably just a scribble like that. But it's not. It's actually like a stop. Like, it stops after each, it forms a six, but then it kind of has smudges around there. So I can't particularly say that that's what they were creating, but it's very odd that if you're going to make scribbles, you would have a continuous scribble going down, not just a, I'm going to form a scribble six and then stop, form another scribble six, like stop, and then form another scribble six and stop. And so that, to me, it almost looks like it could be that, but it's also very elusive. So you don't necessarily know if that was the intent of it.
Yeah, I sometimes wonder if I'm being sensational, but when I uploaded that image to Instagram, they lower the resolution just because that's the app. And the original image, I'm not going to say, like, I wouldn't bet my life on it, but it looks pretty clear that that top six, they ran it through Photoshop and put a specific line of blur or smudge through it to make it look less like a six. So that's one of the cases that I'm like, I'm not sure about if that's what it is or not, but it sure looks like it to me.
Yeah. And the odd part too, though, about that is that if you look at some of the other things that are placed inside of the image itself, that does have ties to like having Balenciaga and having, there were other things in there, like they were talking about the white rabbit, and then you had that red face in the background on the kid thing. And it's like, some of those things are very much tied to the occult. And so it wouldn't be out of the realm of what this picture is displaying to think that that's possibly a 666 on the side of the wall. And so it makes it a possibility rather than, what if this was just like an image of just kids and rainbows and there was nothing else in there. And then there's something on the wall that might make it, I don't really know. But there's other things displayed in that image that clearly depict, like, why would they have something like that in the image, you know, and especially looking at some of their other stuff that they have.
Right. And again, these are all like massive rabbit holes, right? But we can talk about the 666 and why it could be there. The in terms of Saturn symbolism, which does tie into the Moloch and the ball and all this ideas of child sacrifice. Because in terms of the occult, if you read, there's a book by Mark Booth called the, I'm going to mess up the name, I think it's like The Hidden History of the World or something like that. And it's about the occult belief system in reality. And I'm going to try to sum up and transcribe, paraphrase what he's saying, because it's very confusing. The idea is that these people into this occult belief system, they worship the archetype or the planet of Saturn, okay? Saturn, infamously known in the Roman pagan pantheon as Kronos, which Kronos was eating kids. You'd sacrifice the kids. But in terms of the occult history of the world, Saturn, which was the sixth planet, which ties us into 666. They say that it more or less is the same principle as this, the adversary planet. At the time, they thought this was the furthest planet away. They thought it was the last one. They didn't know there was planets beyond Saturn. And in the occult version of the world, they looked at this. They said, okay, here's Saturn. Here's the sixth planet. It's what they call the outer or the adversary. And when you read books like Dr. Michael Flowers has a book called Lords of the Left-Hand Path. When you read that book, you'll understand that these occultists that are into the dark arts specifically, or the left-hand path, they call it, they are very much into embracing what they call antinomianism. And I'm trying to not lose people, so I promise I'm not going to nerd out too hard. But in antinomianism, it's this idea of embracing the adversary or the rebel angel, the Luciferian archetype, all these ideas. And that's what the principle of Saturn is. It's embracing the dark side, because when you get into ideas of creating your own reality and magical thinking, sometimes you'll see how people say you need to embrace the shadow. Kobe Bryant infamously talked about this.
Yeah, the shadow side of yourself.
I don't know if you heard the episodes. I'm not going to put you on the spot, but like I did one or two episodes in March of 2020 about Kobe Bryant when he died, because he wrote several children's books, right? And the stories I read through these books, both of them had a similar message. And the message was, like in the one book, the kid blatantly sort of pledges allegiance to this fallen angel Luciferian statue. I don't remember the names or the terms, but on the show I describe it, and it's very clearly what that is. I'm not exaggerating. And in the other book, it specifically talks about how this kid wants to play basketball better, and they do it by embracing their internal shadow and letting the shadow take over. And it becomes dangerous to the point where the shadow almost kills one of his friends that's playing basketball. And when you listen to Kobe Bryant, he talks about this exact principle as to what the Black Mamba is when he played ball.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so there's this idea that the occultists and people who understand the dark arts, they understand that one must embrace the adversary, the shadow, the darkness. And to simplify it, it's if you want to get into the spiritual realm of light and dark, it's about embracing Satan or Lucifer or it goes on and on, right? And this gets into very subjective, personal beliefs of what people want to believe. But there's a lot of symbolism of Saturn in a lot of works. It's generally the black cube. And funny enough, Kanye West, he's in the news right now. And I covered him for, I don't even know how many shows I dedicated to this guy, because he's been doing all kinds of wild stuff over the last 10 years.
Well, yeah, as of recently, especially recently, he's just been doing some really weird stuff.
This is peak intensity Kanye West. But back in, I think it was 2015, the news was all over him. And they're like, oh, Kanye's ranting on Sway in the morning. And then he went on The Breakfast Club. And what he was saying on those shows, I listened to it to try to make sense of it, because it sounds kind of all over the place and kind of nutty, right? But he was saying stuff about how symbols are controlling us, which I agree with, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I go back and forth on Ye all the time. I mean, currently I'm not into Ye, what he's saying, because of obvious reasons. But back then, when he was talking like this, Charlemagne the God on Breakfast Club said that he warned him on the air. I don't think anyone caught it. He says, you're not being on your square. And that's a Freemasonic term. He warned him. He said, you're not on your square, which is the worshipful master in Freemasonic rituals. They stand on a square, which is kind of a cube, more or less. But anyway, I think Ye plays a part in all this too. I don't know if he's here to save us. I don't know if he's here to expose anything, or if he's the fall guy that they're trying to, I don't know, purposely make him look crazy to, again, get people less interested in these topics, much like the QAnon thing, which plays a part in all this Balenciaga stuff, which we'll talk about here at some point.
Yeah. Especially that being what the media is portraying as this is just a QAnon
with
outrage.
Balenciaga, right?
This whole Balenciaga thing. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. That I read that New York Times article, and they more or less align Balenciaga now with QAnon. And a lot of people who listen to me know that, and this is why I find value in my own research for people, because truthers, there's been this weird, I'm on my voter registration, I am unaffiliated. I don't like either political party. I grew up with David Icke red pilling me and Bill Cooper, and they always told us the truth about it's two wings on the same bird, all this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe in that. But I also have a very
attitude.
So okay, good. I have a very socially liberal idea of just in general worldview, right?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that I'm oh, Hillary Clinton's the best and all the Democrats are always the best, but that's but I'm very socially liberal. And when QAnon first came out, I was researching it. I thought, well, maybe there's something here, right? And I dislike Donald Trump for a million reasons. I mean, he didn't do all bad. There was a couple things he did that I liked. I couldn't recall it off the top of my head. He wasn't all bad. But in general, I didn't like the guy as the president. I think he's funny. I think he's hilarious. But I would never want him to be the leader of my country. But anyway, right? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to not get political. But when people said, oh, QAnon, Donald Trump's going to arrest all these people that are messing with kids, I said, this is such a crock of nonsense. No way is that going to happen. And then in early 2022, when the thing that will never go away kicked off in March, April timeframe, they were like, oh, they're going to round up all the people that are doing this stuff with the kids. This is QAnon. This is what they told us was going to happen. And, the more this whole Q thing goes on, the more preposterous it seems. They start talking about JFK still alive and all this stuff. So I've never really believed in QAnon, but I keep abreast of it because it's interesting. Some of the stuff's interesting, and some of the times they get it right, but usually it's not. Usually it's a political hijack.
Yeah. And that's actually I'll tell you that QAnon was actually what kind of opened my eyes up to the conspiracy world. I think that it did a lot for people, but I think some people had a hard time discerning what is going a little too far down the rabbit hole and kind of really being able to analyze some of the stuff that they were saying wasn't even coming true. But then there are things that it was leading to where I was like, okay, that makes sense. But then there was other stuff where I just couldn't like verify it. And I was just kind of like, okay, this is kind of taking me on a journey that I don't think is even good. And so it kind of opened my eyes up to the realm of like, I really need to look more into some of this stuff. But the issue, and this is why I think that QAnon was really created, and I think it was really an extreme right-wing thing that was created to kind of put disinformation out into the public and be utilized to kind of sway people away from reality. Because we do have human trafficking. Human trafficking is a multi-billion dollar industry a year. It is a problem. We have more modern day slaves on this planet than ever before in history. And it has basically been hijacked by the QAnon movement. And so when you even talk about human trafficking or any of that kind of stuff, people will call you that you're a QAnon whatever. And so it really kind of has deflected a lot of some of this stuff. And that's why you have the media saying that, oh, this Balenciaga thing has been hijacked by the, it's just a QAnon outrage that save the children and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, no, we really do need to protect the children. And this isn't a QAnon thing. There's a lot of people who are not QAnon. I'm not QAnon. You're not QAnon. There's a lot of people who are not QAnon, but there's a lot more people now who are waking up to the reality that there is all this symbolism that has been kind of seeded into our subconscious and it's growing. And so all of a sudden, you know, like, and I've been studying a lot into the way that the mind works and how mind control, hypnosis, all these different types of things can occur in people who aren't even consciously aware that they're being programmed. And so they can see something and desensitize to it because they've been being shown it slowly throughout their life. And they can have a completely different perspective on something that is clearly exploiting a child. And unless we are aware of these things, then it's harder for people to have an outrage about it. And so that's why I think a lot of people are waking up to this and making a big deal about this Balenciaga thing. But one thing that really bothered me was that they're focusing on Balenciaga because it was the story that kind of broke this whole thing that kind of led everyone down these, all these crazy trails with Balenciaga. You know, you had the CEO of Kering, which is the parent company of like all these top fashion brands. And he owns this Christie's website, which is an auction one. And it's auctioning off this really sadistic, I mean, grotesque artwork of naked children with genitals for faces. I don't even like talking about this kind of stuff because obviously it makes people uncomfortable, right? It shouldn't be artwork that's being produced into our psyches. And so the big thing about that is a lot of people are attacking the CEO of Kering and tying this to Balenciaga. When I kind of stopped at that point and I started going into the person who is creating the artwork, which is Jake and Dinos Chapman. And I was like, why are we not having an outrage just the same way towards Jake and Dinos Chapman as we are with Balenciaga? You know, because you can say all you want that the CEO is the parent company and they're the ones who are connected and distributing this type of grotesque artwork. But how is that artwork not protected under the Protect Act? How is that not depicting something so grotesque? And that kind of stuff has been being distributed and people are paying a lot of money for this artwork. And it's just all this stuff has been out there. And how are people getting away? And I want to know from your perspective, why do you think that they are just fully displaying this out to the public for us to see? Like, why do you think that they're just throwing all this symbolism out there for everyone to see, like, how sadistic it is?
So in my, obviously, I can be wrong. I've been wrong before. I'll be wrong again. But from my worldview and my subjective experience, I think this is part of the acceleration of the end times in a way. In a way, you know, I don't want to sound too sensational or like Kirk Cameron or something. But and again, and just to put a bow on the point I was trying to make, because people listening might not know who I am. Like you said, I'm not a Q guy. I'm not a mouthpiece for the right wing establishment. I don't even have kids. So for me to look at this Balenciaga thing, I actually am fairly skeptical of a lot of conspiracy theories. Sometimes truthers drive me nuts for many reasons. But for me to see all this Balenciaga stuff and support people like you that are speaking out against this and say, dude, this is a line too far. Like, that's when it has gone too far, right? Mm-hmm. And to me, what I think, just an opinion, I think that this is the strategy they call revelation of the method. When you get into occult conspiracy thinking there's this idea that they've been practicing these dark arts, these techniques of ritual magic, mind control, all this different stuff for many years, like hundreds of years. Like this has been going on a long, long time. And at some point, they want to reveal that truth to us as the new religion, more or less. And this new religion, it ties into what Aleister Crowley was talking about. Aleister Crowley, a very famous occultist.
Yeah.
He was into a lot of stuff. He basically employed white magic, black magic, anything. It was just, he took a sort of smorgasbord of all these occult ideas from across the world and sort of synthesized them. And he made contact with these disembodied entities and he created this whole philosophy. And a lot of people still, you know, he's infamously on the cover of the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's album, and he shows up in a lot of things. But anyway, Aleister Crowley, back in, we're talking like 1905 or something like that, talked to this basically Luciferian spirit, is what he later called it. AWAS was the name. And AWAS said, look, you're going to usher in a new age. We're going to call it the age of Horus, the Aeon of Horus. And there's all these different principles. And if anyone wants to read more about it, there's a book. He wrote a one-page book called Liber 77 or Liber Oz. And it's one page, and it talks about the different basic fundamental ideas of the new age that he was told he was going to usher in the new age. And part of this new age is, the symbol for the new age is the UFO, by the way.
Like new age religion?
Of this Aeon of Horus, this new age that they want to put us in.
Oh, okay.
And the whole idea Crowley had was that we needed to abandon all these Abrahamic religions, and the new God was going to be service to self and man. And
do what thou wilt.
Do what thou wilt. Exactly. You got it. And you know this already, but for the audience, I am Greek Orthodox Christian. I'm very lukewarm. I'm probably the crappiest Christian you've ever met. I barely go to church. I believe in it, but
I say the same thing about myself.
I think any honest Christian would. I mean, the bar is set pretty high for what you're supposed to do in theory. And it's like, some days I'm just like, I can't even deal. I don't know. But, you know, ultimately, I do believe in Christ. And I have problems with organized religion. I have problems with a lot of the things I'm just supposed to accept as true based on my faith. So I'm very much a lukewarm Christian. I'm not the guy to look to if you're like, oh, I want a good Christian leader to teach me the right ways. Don't come to me. That's not me. But
I'm very similar, actually, because I'm so skeptical of everybody and I have serious trust issues of everybody. Like, I do have my faith and I believe, but I feel like anything that man has touched and had an ability to taint, like, I'm very skeptical of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And so this is kind of my journey.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And the things we're saying are very dangerous. If I had my priest in my room with me, he would warn me about what we're saying right now, because when you start getting into this idea that, well, the, because we believe the Orthodox Church is the true faith going all the way back to Christ. And if I start saying stuff like, yeah, but I think maybe they got it wrong here and there, like that's sort of blasphemous in a way. And that's what makes me think like, man, I don't know. Like, I just don't know what the truth is. But anyway, when you look at it from a Christian perspective of this, the new age, he tells you all these things that man is the new God. Man will do his own will. And that's a fundamental difference. And I would say it's the Antichrist, because in Christianity, you do the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a fundamental difference. And I mean, we can't deny that that's specifically what's going on in our culture and society. Blame it on whatever you want, right? Social media, technology, celebrities, whatever you want to blame it on. That's where we're headed. Is every, a lot of people are very much ego-centered, very much worried about their image that goes out into the public. And there's it's kind of a longer talk, but there's an element that plays into Balenciaga that I talked about in my second book. I talked about in my hip hop conspiracy book, Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic. I talked about this idea that advertising, you go back to Edward Bernays, and he's the king of propaganda, but advertising mixed in with the free market capitalism of our country, mixed in with the legislation changes that Ronald Reagan put in place, created this mess of Balenciaga. They're totally legal. They could do this. Balenciaga can totally make these ads with little kids in poses and garb and in scenery that's completely inappropriate. They're allowed to do that. That's legal. There used to be laws against it, though.
Okay, so that's why I want to question this, because I've actually been talking to some criminal attorneys, because I thoroughly, when I started going into this Balenciaga thing, I'm not a really a surface level person. Like, I need to understand how everything operates and works. And so, you know, when I heard about this, what was it, the Williams or U.S. versus William case, I started looking into that. And then I'm like, okay, well, why did he think that it was against the First Amendment, right? And then I started researching into why the PROTECT Act was created. And, you know, it was talking about how before that, they couldn't really depict between what was real children and what wasn't real children. And they could use the defense that we're not utilizing real children in our child pee or whatever. And so that wasn't protected. And so they had to create the PROTECT Act to kind of govern everything that was being distributed, even if it was real children or digitally created or any of that kind of stuff. And so that's where I kind of got confused, because I'm thinking in my mind, I'm like, so if people are predators online and they're exchanging images that might not actually depict something that's super sexual, right? But they are distributing it in a way where it's a sexual manner, and they can get charged for distributing and exploitation that falls under the PROTECT Act, then why can't a person who is displaying these grotesque fake images of children in a sexual manner, how can they can display that and sell it as artwork and not be fall under this PROTECT Act, or have Balenciaga, which putting a child. So there's some of these predators out there, and I want people to understand this, but there's some of these predators that don't even, you could be posting your child online in a bikini, okay? And you might not think anything of it. It's pretty harmless to you. A lot of people do it because their mind's not in that realm, right? Their child's just playing in the water, whatever. But predators see that, and they take those images and they create files and they take them to the dark web and they sell those and distribute those to other predators, right? So those types of images were never even meant to be in a sexual manner, but they're being utilized and looked at in that way. And there are people who are getting in trouble for taking those images and distributing them and doing all that kind of stuff. So when I look at Balenciaga, I wonder, how is it legal for them to put something that has adult undertones to it? I mean, there was nothing in there that was really for children. I mean, there was alcohol, there was wine glasses, there were all different kinds of stuff. And you also have a teddy bear that has BDSM wearing gear in it. And you're thinking in your mind, like, there's no other type of way that you could take that. I mean, BDSM is something that's used in a sexual manner. So when you put that into an image with a child, that automatically sets a predator up for seeing that child in a sexual light, whether some people even understand it or not. And so they're already setting that up for exploiting this child. And that is so blatantly obvious. I used to raise money for human trafficking. I used to work with some of these organizations. And I'm even like, I went to a lot of these people and I'm like, how is this legal? How is this legal? And how are they able to do that when there are actual predators out there just exchanging images that aren't even meant to be sexual? And they're getting in trouble for that. And so that's why I've been focusing recently on going after Jake and Dinos Chapman. And I've been talking to an attorney to see how this is even legal. And so from what I'm hearing from you, I'm curious to know through your research, how is that made legal?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I haven't really gotten a particular answer on that.
Sounds like you're on the front lines. I had a thing going where I was donating to Operation Underground Railroad because they're all about saving people that are human trafficked. But then there's some drawbacks to this kind of stuff, because don't run with this or quote me on this, but from what I understood, because I talked to one guy who was pretty smart on this, he said, yeah, the problems with those kinds of groups are that they take, like, they'll show up, like, they know someone's getting trafficked, the cops show up, and here comes an organization like Underground Railroad, and then Underground Railroad, they assist in the whatever arrest, then they get to claim, oh, we're taking so many bad guys off the streets, and they end up getting more money than the police. And then when the police are doing like 90% of the lifting on this, again, don't run with that. No, that's not a knock on Operation Underground Railroad or nothing. I've heard this stuff and I thought, well, gosh, man, I don't know. I wanted to make them sort of a sponsor, not a sponsor, but for my Patreon, I was like, let's donate a portion. Back in 2020, when this was the hot subject with Wayfair and all this other stuff going on.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I imagine you probably, did you talk about Eyes Wide Shut on your episodes or not with the teddy bear?
I didn't, but actually, I'll be honest with you. I never watched Eyes Wide Shut, but you kept referencing it. And so later on that night, I went and watched it. And I would actually be interested in hearing your take on that, because I did watch it and it has a lot of things that I saw on there, but I'm not as aware as you are with like all the symbolism.
Yeah, I couldn't even tell you how many times I've seen the movie. There's so much going on in that movie. We definitely should link up to do an episode. I mean, I could talk about it for hours and hours. I'm contemplating writing a book specifically on that.
Wow.
Yeah, huge rabbit hole.
And Nicole Kidman kind of ties into this with her father.
We'll save the Eyes Wide Shut if we end up doing an episode on that together sometime here. But let's address the discussion. And this gets in as to why this is legal or why this is happening. And this starts getting into more philosophical areas, which is fascinating, which is why I think this is a topic everyone's talking about, because we all see this thing. We all universally agree this is awful. This shouldn't be happening. But then the question comes in, what level of canceling, quote unquote, should we do? Because I'm very anti-cancel culture. In a way, Balenciaga has the right to do this because it's not illegal. It's gross. I'm okay with people protesting and hashtagging and saying, don't buy this crap or whatever. I don't know what the answer is, but there was a TikTok video. I can't not shout out. It's enlighten.mentality. It's one my wife sent me, Josie sent me, and it was very fascinating. It's cryptic because the person speaking, who I assume is a man, has a male's voice, has this mask and it's like a light. Anyway, so it's kind of anonymous-y type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I fact checked the things this person was saying, and it's very interesting. And this person lays out the argument in this video that the reason we see kids on the Balenciaga ad is it's our own fault. It's the American consumer habits and not perverts in the fashion industry, which I disagree with that, because the fashion industry has a lot of gross, weird things. I mean, look at Epstein. I mean, there's a whole rabbit hole of Epstein and fashion modeling that we could get into.
Mm-hmm.
But this person references a couple of resources. One is a book called The Disappearance of Childhood by Neil Postman. Have not read these books. Again, I just saw this last night, this TikTok my wife sent me. But it apparently talks about this cultural difference between childhood and adulthood. And the main thing that separates these two things is access to information. And this line, this boundary, is blurred constantly and over time sort of dissolves. And they found that as visual media consumption increases, meaning television, Netflix, social media, the phone, all that stuff, as those things increase, the age at which we treat people we refer to as children actually decreases, meaning kids become adults sooner, which just through subjective observation, I believe that. It seems that way.
Oh, 100%. I mean, look at the way kids are dressed nowadays, the way that they look. Sometimes you can't even differentiate between a 13-year-old and a 21-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's apparently the basis is this sort of, I don't know, this observation about this study. And they said that the reason this happens is because in free market capitalism, which, contrary to what a lot of people want to believe, free market capitalism and share prices is only interested in one thing, and that's making more money, which is greed, which is specifically called out as a sin. So in a way, when people say America is satanic, I don't disagree with them. We're the greatest country in the world. I wouldn't change anything. You don't see me moving to the Middle East or something, but we got to be honest with ourselves that there's a certain element of grossness that could be behind capitalism. Capitalism also can give us good things, right? We all have a great standard of living. This is, again, a massive philosophical discussion to have, but I think it's worth having. But the idea is that in free market capitalism, greed is good, and it will inevitably cannibalize child culture. And what they're talking about specifically is Ronald Reagan, apparently in the 80s, overturned a bunch of laws about the media consumed by children, advertisements using children, advertisements directed at children. And I grew up in the 80s. I was born in 79, but I grew up in the 80s. So I don't really know anything different. But apparently media used to have very strict criteria as to what kids could consume. And Reagan and his administration said this violated the free speech for the broadcast companies. And also, fun fact, Ronald Reagan was the guy who said ketchup. He made it so that the nutritional guidelines for kids' lunches, he said ketchup is a vegetable, so kids don't eat. And food's a big rabbit hole, too. I'm really big into food and health. And
oh, me too.
Okay. Yeah.
Me too.
Again, massive rabbit hole.
I'm preaching about that all the time.
Okay. Yeah. It's like straight poison.
Well, I feel like once you get into all this, it all correlates.
Yeah.
You just see all the pieces come together. Yeah.
Bill Cooper, David Icke, they planted these seeds in my head. And then what really sent me down the journey was health and nutrition. I lost my dad at a young age from heart disease. And I was really worried about it. I was scared about it. So I really learned a lot about health and nutrition. And the more you learn about it, the more you realize, like, dude, the cards are stacked against you. Like, it's wild in our... Anyway, I'll stick to to Reagan. So Reagan apparently changed a lot of the legislation, right? And look, again, I'm a very middle-of-the-road guy. I don't necessarily think the government should answer every problem, but it can be instrumental in changing our world. Kind of a weird balance we got to strike up here. But they referenced this case, New York versus Ferber, where the Supreme Court said that basically you could use kids for a lot of this stuff. You could direct marketing at kids. It's totally fine. Because in Reagan's mind, and back then in the 80s, you know, and the political stances and ideologies change over time. But back then, and arguably still now, but back then, they thought, well, you know, free market capitalism, the better judge of the morality is the corporations, not the government. Because everything government's bad to them, which they've got reasons to believe that for some areas, that's true. But an example we could talk about, Captain Kangaroo. I'd never seen an episode my whole life, but apparently it was like the show for kids from the 50s all the way to the 80s. And then once all these legislation things changes, all of a sudden Captain Kangaroo just evaporates. And we get G.I. Joe, Masters of the Universe, Transformers. And the whole reason we got those cartoons, and I can only speak from the male perspective. You know, females got what, like Rainbow Bright, My Little Pony, that kind of stuff. And I was obsessed with these things growing up. You know, I got a lot of nostalgia for these things. I'm not trying to like crap on these toy brands, but the whole purpose was the advertisers and the broadcast companies wanted to sell us products. I've seen multiple documentaries about the making of Masters of the Universe, for example. It was always about how do we sell toys? So they directly advertised to kids with these cartoons. And then on top of that, add in all the violence and the, what do you call it, like enculturation of social norms. And again, like we could talk for hours on this subject, but the whole point was they changed the rules of the game in the 80s. And for better or worse, things changed back then. And there's actually a very interesting, I found this Bob Keeshan, the guy who created Captain Kangaroo. I've got a quote here. He says, "Frankly, I think the needs of our nation's children are just too important to be left to the networks and their profit motives, or to Mark Fowler's market concept." Mark Fowler was the FCC chairman under Reagan, who basically dismantled all these rules. Mr. Fowler talks about the free speech of the broadcasters. He says, "I think the Supreme Court decision a few weeks ago on Childhood P may be relevant. It said that despite the guarantee of free speech, our children are so precious that the free speech of the P had to give way to allow us to protect children from exploitation. Our children are the seed corn of the republic, and what we are doing is poisoning the corn." Anyway, all that to sum up, in the 80s is when things changed, and they decided that capitalists should use children. And my food journey into the conspiracy world, I read Fast Food Nation, and in that book, I think it was Fast Food Nation, I'm pretty sure, they talk about how fast food directly markets towards children. And the idea is that you hook them young. This is no different than every other big tobacco, all this stuff, any product. They want to hook kids when they're young so that you've got a lifelong customer. They call it brand awareness, right? And to me, I don't know, philosophically, I think there's something wrong with advertising towards kids. But this whole acceptance of what we've been doing for the last 40 years is what leads to a Balenciaga thing. And now people are waking up and saying, okay, we draw the line here. Like, you can sell them toys with the cartoons that are violent, whatever, fine. But this is where we draw the line. So again, big conversation, right?
Yeah. I mean, even just listening to what you're saying, I mean, I can't help but think that this is a lot of how like the news networks work. This is how a lot of like all of these advertising and everything work. They don't really care about giving you the story. They care about how much energy, how much anger, how much like emotions they can drive within you to get ratings, to get money, to get whatever it is that they're trying to get and be better than the next person. And they're not really necessarily caring about like the real truth. And so that's why it's like, I can't even watch any of the news networks nowadays, especially nowadays, because it's a war on each other. It's right versus left. It's how much we can get the noise going, how much we can get people angry, how much we can get of more and more people's minds to drive more ratings to us, to drive more money towards us. And I see that with my emails. It's like, I can't even get just a normal email from a company about something. It's like, we have to fight for this. And we have, it's like, everything is always just like so fear-mongering that it's like, how much more can, and right now you can definitely see it because you can just feel it. There's, if people think that you voted for this person, then you believe in X, Y, and Z. And if you voted for this person, then you must believe in X, Y, and Z. And we can't be friends. You know, we have nothing in common. And that's what they have created through all of this, like what's being put out. And I think that because people are getting so desensitized, and it's been this slow progression of desensitizing, that they need more shock factor to get more from you, right? And so it's like, they can't just put out an ad with like an adult in there, because is that going to create the shock factor that they're looking for? And Balenciaga is known for really skating the edge of fashion. The stuff that they put out is getting more and more odd. And the stuff that even just in the media, what you see on TV, the stuff that I see on TV was not what I saw on TV when I was younger. The way that kids are dancing on TikTok, the way that kids are acting, and what I see even just in reality shows, I'm just kind of like, we have been so desensitized that what gets ratings and what gets people to consume things is by giving that shock factor, right? It's what creates that emotion. And so that's kind of like, just listening to what you're saying, that's kind of where my mind goes when I'm thinking of why some of this stuff is so out there, because maybe some of it isn't just an undertone necessarily, but more of like trying to get more consumers for more money and more greed in order to push their agendas further or whatever it is. And that's why I think we have just this so many different perceptions of like what should be and what shouldn't be based on morals and beliefs, you know? But I think that because we have been so desensitized that it takes going to these parts to like get the shock factor. And so I think that one of my biggest things is I don't care what people do as adults. Do what you want to do with your own understanding and knowledge of, you know, the repercussions of your actions and things like that. But when it comes to children, children's minds are so, I mean, they believe in Santa Claus. They believe in anything that you tell them. And so when you at like, just by what you're saying, when you advertise or put children involved in things that they shouldn't, that's kind of off limits to me, you know, and I am a parent. And so it's like, I'm very, very protective of like what my daughter can watch, what she can listen to, any of that kind of stuff. Because I do think that even just, we might have the best intentions, but we might have been so desensitized ourselves that we don't even recognize what we're introducing our children to.
Yeah, it's kind of a long game. They plant these seeds and they know. They showed us stuff in the 80s and it wasn't that big of a deal, but then you become a parent and you accept certain levels of whatever, and then they push the envelope a little further. And then we get this crazy stuff that we're like, whoa, are they really showing kids with BDSM stuff? Why are they doing this?
Yeah, and it's kind of like from just my own age group, I'm 35 years old, so I've been around when we didn't have, when there was pagers and we didn't have text messaging, we didn't have cell phones or any of that kind of stuff. I remember when I got my first cell phone, you know, I was like 16. And so, and that was just like, I played Snake on my phone. But it's like, once you get to that point and you just realize how much we've progressed in society, just from just the short period of time that I've witnessed, I'm just like, man, where are we going to be? Like when my daughter is an adult, there has to come a point like where we just realize we've really dug ourselves into the ground. I don't know what your views are on that.
Yeah. And to me, to take it back to a more sensational occult fantasy, they want to make this digital matrix that I disagree with, obviously, but they want, the metaverse, right? And these scientists, they think that they can solve the problem of the human condition, and they can, you know, and you see this with different things. I'm not going to get controversial, but there's this idea that we'll approach the singularity by 2040, 2045, depending on how you look at it. This guy, Ray Kurzweil, who is the director of Google Engineering, I've read a couple of his books. He's a very famous futurist going all the way back to the 80s and 90s. And he talked about this stuff for many years. And I think that is their ultimate end game, is to create that we're in this thing they call the attention economy, right? You watch Netflix. I watch Jeffrey Dahmer's show, 10 hours of this, like, and I'm into really like horrific horror movies and stuff. So I'm unfazed completely. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I watch 10 hours of this stuff and I'm like, I almost binge watch it because I actually was sick for a month and a half from. I finally, the thing from 2020 that will never go away finally caught up with me and got me. And I was down out. I was down bad. And I watched 10 hours of this show almost in like 2 days or something like that. And it gets over and they immediately start queuing up the conversation tapes of Jeffrey Dahmer and all these other murder shows.
Yeah.
And even a guy like me who consumes dark stuff on the regular, I was like, bro, stop, like, give me a palate cleanser at least. But the attention economy, it's like TikTok, right? You just, it's an infinite scroll. It just never ends.
Yes. And
I couldn't imagine the anxiety these children experience today with, when I'm 8 years older than you, so I don't know if you had the same experience, but growing up, I hated school. I hated elementary school. I hated middle school. I hated high school. I hated all of it. I was just an anxious kid. And I couldn't wait to get home. I remember walking from my bus stop up to my house and just being like, oh, thank God. And I didn't have the greatest home life either. So like that speaks volumes. Not that I was like had these horrific parents. I'm not trying to paint a bad picture. But anyway, these kids, they don't get a break. They get out of school and they pick up their phone. They're back in high school or whatever. They never get a break. They go on TikTok, infinite scroll. They go on Netflix. It never ends. This attention economy, which is a very capitalist thing, it's screwing with these young kids, and then add in all this other stuff. They've lived through a pandemic, a housing crisis, all these horrific events. I don't want to say the words. People going into schools and doing violent things. I mean, I don't even know. I mean, again, I don't have kids. I sit back and I applaud parents. Like, you guys have a thankless, impossible job.
It's hard to parent nowadays. It really is.
Imagine. I couldn't even imagine. And I just think that all of this is... and. You could argue that, I don't know, I don't think Bill Gates was the one mastermind behind this whole thing of getting us into the digital matrix. I think it was a lot of different philosophies and technology. Arguably, maybe we've already done this before. Maybe we're on this loop of the Atlantis folks already did this and they collapsed and now we're doing it again. Like, we're drawn to these phones.
Yeah, like this is social cycles.
Yeah, if you watch 2001 A Space Odyssey, we're the apes looking at the monolith, which is the same dimensions as an iPhone, by the way. Oh, anyway, and we're consumed. We can't stop looking at them. And maybe, you know, just from personal experience, someone's sitting next to me at dinner or anywhere and they pull out their phone and they look at it. I'm looking at their screen, which is like, I'm not trying to be nosy. I don't want to see what they're looking at, but my eyeballs, they gravitate. You're at a restaurant, there's a TV on, your eyes gravitate. Like, this is a weird,
it's all about consumption
lull that we're being put in. Yeah. And look, I'm not saying I'm above it. I'm not crapping on people for giving their kids cell phones. I'm none of that. I think we're in a very difficult situation where, I don't know, it almost seems like there's a spiritual nefarious force.
Yes. And that's really like how I feel towards it. But I just really think that ultimately we're headed towards a really disastrous like future, in my own opinion, just based on, I really feel like in order for things to get better, it really has to get a lot worse. And we don't really know the long-term effects of what all this stuff is doing to people's minds. But that's why I really love like what you're talking about, because we really are like computers. Like, humans are really like computers, whether we understand it or not. And the majority of the way that we think, the way that we consume, the way that we view the world is really controlled by our subconscious mind. And what we consciously are aware of is just a very small portion of what our minds are constantly taking in. And so when you have something like the internet, media, any of that stuff that can be distributed to the masses, this is like an easy way to control and sway the direction of humanity. And when you have all of this type of symbolism that's being distributed into our, what people are consuming 24/7, like regularly, it just, it shows where we are and why we are where we are in humanity. And so that's why I just appreciate listening to you and how you kind of dissect it. And what I appreciate about your podcast as well is that you are so transparent with your listeners when you're like, I got something wrong, I'm going to correct this, that kind of stuff, because that kind of humanizes you and lets people know that they can really trust you and what you put out. But I'm going to start wrapping things up, Isaac. This was a really great conversation. I'm glad you came onto the show. I definitely want to have you back because I think there's so much that we could have gone down in this conversation, but
yeah, it's a huge topic.
Yeah, there's so much to it. And that's why you have a podcast that you can pretty much have an episode all the time about what's going on. So if anybody is really interested in that, I have all the information down in the show notes where you can find Isaac. And especially, I would highly suggest checking out his podcast. But that is it for today, everyone. And thank you so much for coming on my show, Isaac.
Yeah, thank you. Pleasure's all mine. Appreciate it.
Well, everybody, I hope you really enjoyed that episode with Isaac. If you guys are interested in, if you're one of my listeners, you would be very interested in what Isaac is putting out. I really love how he does a huge deep dive into a lot of the symbolism stuff. So if that's something that you are interested in learning, because he dissects music, he dissects movies, he dissects videos, media, all that kind of stuff. And he really shows a lot of stuff that I think a lot of people miss, because if they're trying to learn more about symbolism and the occult and things like that, I would highly, highly suggest checking out his podcast. It's Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. Make sure to check it out. Everything, if you want to find him, everything is down in the show notes. But one thing I really wanted to say was just, he briefly touched on the fact that they're able to legally produce this type of content and put it out into the public. And that is something I really wanted to talk to my listeners about, because I had mentioned on my Instagram that I don't understand why we are combining some of the people in this whole story together and we're not individually going through and attacking these people. Because I don't really like to say the word attack, but what I will say is that in my own opinion, I think it's important for us to protect the children of our society, especially in the time that we are living in, because we are living in such a, it just really, like, you can feel it in the air that there's so much division, there's so much hate, there's so much uproar, there's so much different ideologies, morals, beliefs. And one thing that I really feel is that, like, our children should be 100% protected, because they are so manipulated. When we talk about all these, like, I'm not dissing on LGBTQ, I'm not dissing on trans, I'm not dissing on anything. I feel like our children can be so persuaded in different ways that all of this stuff that we are marketing to them is only creating mass confusion. And that pulls people away from knowing who they are. It also progresses society sometimes into these situations that children should never be a part of. And so that's why I really loved having this conversation and these different perspectives from what other people believe. But this Jake and Dinos Chapman, if you go to their website, they blatantly have these images out there of naked children in sexual positions where they have genitalia for faces. And I'm currently working on trying to figure out if this is something that falls under the umbrella of the Protect Act, because in the Protect Act, it does state that digitally created or unreal children can fall under the umbrella of child exploitation. And so I'm trying to figure out if these images are legal to be distributed, and why are they legal? Because whether it's a real child or it's something that's created with a paintbrush, I don't really care. They both have the same symbolism and they are being put out into the psyche. And those are things that, when you're depicting children, you're catering to the predator world, and we need to protect our children. Our children are what our future is. And so that's why I'm so passionate about this. And so that's why I have called the attention to people to say that I want to separate the CEO of Kering, which is Francios Henri Pinault, and I want to separate the brand of Balenciaga, and I want to separate the brand of Jake Dinos Chapman, Jake and Dinos Chapman, they're brothers. And why can't we start going after them individually? because I think that even if this stuff is legal, if we have enough of an uproar that this is not what society wants, then maybe people will start backing off from it. And so that's my biggest thing, is I'm trying to separate these brands and not say that this all falls under the Balenciaga umbrella. I mean, all of it's correlated and connected in some way, and we kind of discussed a lot of the ways that it's connected in this episode today. But I'm trying to start an uproar against this artwork. Why can't we go after anybody who depicts this stuff? Balenciaga took their stuff down, not saying that they wanted to or, you know, whatever. Like, they still took the images down, but you have Jake and Dinos Chapman over here, and they're still selling their disgusting and grotesque artwork of naked children with genitals for faces. So why are we just breezing past that and just still having this uproar on Balenciaga? But anyway, that's my biggest thing with this whole thing. And I'd be curious to know what your guys' opinions are on this whole entire thing. I do now have my website, which is chillerqueenpodcast@gmail.com. I mentioned that in the beginning of the show. And I do want you guys utilizing the voice message part of it, because I would love to hear what your guys' opinions are in voice form that I can actually introduce into my future episodes. So there is a tiny little microphone icon when you go onto my website. And if you click on that, it will say leave a voicemail, and you can record it straight from your headphones or phone or anything that has a mic connected to computer or any of that kind of stuff. So I would be interested to hear what you guys have to say. If you guys liked that episode, make sure that you help me out and give me a review. It really helps the show immensely. You could also leave reviews directly on my website. There's links for Apple and Spotify and direct onto my website. So I appreciate you guys for listening. And well, this is the end, my friend. I'm going to probably do another deep dive into this again, because this just keeps going. But until next time, my friends, stay weird, be blessed, and don't forget to question everything.
There you go. That was my appearance on the Chiller Queen podcast. Be sure to check out her show, where she gets into a lot of topics you'll be very excited to hear about: the paranormal and true crime, but of course, conspiracy, Left Hand Path, Michael Aquino, Satanism, all the things. I will have the link in the show notes. You can follow Chiller Queen Podcast everywhere, all the podcast platforms, even on Rockfin. Yes. So check her out. And until next time, stay woke.